This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliette Goodrich.
Good evening. It is not something that any of us want to see in our neighborhoods. Trash littered in the streets. It's hard to keep track of just how much garbage gets illegally dumped in San Francisco. But there is a special team dedicated to figuring out who is responsible. So for a time, COVID sidelined these trash detectives, but now they're back and giving out citations if necessary. Our Kenny Choi followed along with the team.
Shannon Sweeney is madly motivated and on a mission to keep San Francisco's streets as clean as they can be.
It's really just bigger than, oh, there's garbage on the street. It's like, no, this like area needs to be properly maintained so everyone can use it and has equal access to it.
The 23-year-old is an illegal dumping investigator and part of the Department of Public Works outreach and enforcement team.
This is the same spot.
Armed with plastic gloves if she needs to sleuth for evidence of culprits who illegally dump trash, Sweeney also inputs details of new offenders into her tablet, issues citations if previous warnings have been ignored, and checks on complaints.
I'm more like, I'm an inviting person. I have a harder time like even just like laying down the law and talking to them. So for me personally, I think education works better, but enforcement is definitely a necessary part of what we do.
She comes across these dumpsters with no lids and overflowing with trash, a violation and grounds for hefty fines. But it begins with a warning for first-time offenders.
We're doing some enforcement on Fillmore Street, and I noticed that your garbage bins are overflowing.
Fines can quickly escalate. Some citations for illegal dumping of trash can reach up to $1,000. Small businesses in the Fillmore District say they appreciate the city's efforts to keep perpetrators accountable, but there's a bigger problem.
Trash is not my main concern, it's the human waste. Sometimes, you know, it's right in front of the shop.
Other retailers say it's the homeless wreaking havoc they want addressed, but have also come to accept they just have to deal with it on their own. Parts of the Bayview are hotspots for wide-scale illegal dumping. Ramses Alvarez oversees the trash investigation team.
San Francisco Public Works has a lot of folks cleaning up the public right-of-way, but in the end, it really takes all of us, right? People have to dispose of their trash in the right way.
Alvarez has staffed up the team to 6 full-time investigators after COVID halted operations and rerouted the unit to other duties. Sweeney has found taking a softer approach initially is working in her designated neighborhoods.
For me, education has always worked better for like long-term solutions and like actually getting a business or residence to be in compliance in the long run.
DPW says it receives some 30 service requests per day across the city. Investigators like Sweeney can't get to all of them.
To like establish more responsibility for like the community, just like this is our city, let's take care of it, you know.
Sweeney and her team hope keeping residents and businesses accountable one illegal dump at a time is making a dent.
Okay, the team is getting busier and busier, but take a look. It's certainly not back to pre-COVID staffing levels. These numbers from the city show it all. So the two bars on the left, they represent the number of violations in 2018 and 2019. Look how high they are. And then around 15,000 a year, then a huge drop-off during COVID. But since then, we are seeing a steady increase a little bit by the day, and we're only halfway through 2024. So a reminder, you can report trash in your neighborhood by calling 311. All right, turning to Fremont now, where police are investigating the shooting death of a security guard at a CVS. Today, someone left flowers outside of the store's entrance. The shooting happened around 11 last night at the Fremont Hub Shopping Center. Police say the guard got into an argument with someone and it turned violent. Our officers say the guard was shot and killed, and the other person stabbed several times. That person was sent to the hospital. No word on charges at this point, but police are looking for witnesses. After years of catastrophic wildfire seasons, insurance costs are soaring in California, if you can get coverage at all. Now, California's top insurance official unveiling a new plan to help get the crisis under control. So under the plan, insurance companies will be asked to increase the number of policies they offer in certain fire-prone areas. In exchange, the companies would be allowed to use risk calculation formulas to set rates that are expected to be more favorable to the industry. The plan has both supporters and critics.
Once all these pieces are in place, we're confident that insurers are going to come back to California. They're going to continue to serve.
Too many loopholes to be workable. There are too many off-ramps for insurance companies to not meet those commitments.
In the Bay Area, the plan covers parts of Marin, Napa, San Mateo, and Santa Cruz counties, and small patches of Santa Clara County and the East Bay. All right, fire danger may be a real concern further north this weekend where the winds are picking up. There is a red flag warning. It's been issued. So Paul Hagan joins us now with more on that. Paul.
Yeah, Jules, that red flag warning is for the Central Valley, not the Bay Area. But wildfire danger is always something we have to monitor, and we evaluate that with our fire danger index. It's a statistic that combines all the different things we look at: air temperature, humidity levels, wind speed, wind direction, the dryness of the fire fuels, and just combines them into one statistic, and it ranks it from 0 to 10. We want to be close to zero. We hardly ever are during the afternoons this time of year. And today's values were generally around the midpoint of that 0 to 10 scale, which is normal for the middle of June, and really not going to change a whole lot as we head into the weekend. We'll wind the clock forward to tomorrow, and we're going to be once again at about the midpoint of that 0 to 10 scale, maybe even a little bit lower than what we had today. The numbers do go up a little bit on Sunday because the winds are going to be a little stronger, but we're still not going to have the gusty offshore winds that we associated with a significantly higher fire threat. We're also not going to have excessively hot temperatures, so this could be a whole lot worse. Still something we have to monitor. A few locations, especially in the North Bay, getting up a little bit higher on that fire danger index scale by Sunday afternoon. But again, lack of excessive heat helping us out. Temperatures are going to be slightly above average, 70s around the bay with 80s inland. But for the middle of June, that's not bad at all. We'll take a look at the full 7-day forecast coming up in just a few minutes.
All right, Paul, thank you. Another unsettling incident on board a Boeing 737 MAX plane for a flight coming into Oakland. Ann Makovic here has more on what happened on the Southwest flight and if this is raising any red flags. Certainly raises some concerns.
Yes, it certainly does. And of course, we're in the heat of the summer travel season. The plane went into what's called a Dutch roll, basically a figure eight with the tail wagging and the plane trying to right itself as it goes from side to side. It happened back on May 25th on a Southwest flight from Phoenix to Oakland. But it's only coming to light now. The NTSB says the jetliner was about 35,000 feet in the air with almost 200 people on board. The pilots are trained to recover from a Dutch roll. And they did, landing safely in Oakland about an hour later. But we spoke about it with former pilot Ross Sagone, who is now an aviation consultant.
This is a very serious issue because we have an accident history on uncommanded rudder rolls in the 737. It's killed somewhere between 150 and 250 people, depending on who you believe.
Okay, so that was back in the 1990s. Sagone says Boeing thought the problem was solved, and now the investigation into what caused this incident is underway. Federal officials think it might have been caused by a damaged backup power control unit. But, of course, this all comes as the 737 MAX remains under heavy scrutiny in the wake of that door plug blowing out of a brand-new Alaska Airlines 737 MAX 9, which led to a temporary grounding of that model. Sagone says the FAA has to be a better watchdog of the industry, but that things happen during every flight of which passengers just aren't normally aware, and it usually works out fine.
You're in a threat-rich environment. You're 7 miles in the air in an atmosphere you can't breathe in. It's too cold to survive, and you're flying something with millions of parts in it. So things can happen.
Doesn't make you feel too good, but he flew that 737 for 10 years, and he says he dealt with a Dutch roll himself during that time. He got out of it, and he says he still has a lot of confidence in Boeing planes. Of course, I contacted Boeing about this. They referred me to Southwest. Southwest says it is working with the feds on their investigation.
Oh, they're going to give you a Dutch roll of where to go, who to talk to,
yes,
right?
Exactly, exactly.
Someone, don't quote me, but they said it's safer to fly than drive. Maybe my parents told me when I was a kid.
No, that's absolutely true. I mean, look at the statistics.
I know. I'm just surprised passengers didn't have video or we didn't hear about it sooner because
Absolutely. That's,
you know, that's our eyes and ears nowadays,
yes,
right?
Yes. Normally anything goes wrong on a flight and, you know, it's lighting up X like that.
All right, Ann, thank you. The Oakland Ballers will wrap up their first homestand on Sunday at Raymonde Park. And as our Matt Lilley reports, it's going to be an extra special Father's Day for the team's best home run hitter.
The pitch is a high, deep drive to left field. Two home runs for Dondre Hubbard.
When Dondre Hubbard isn't busy hitting home runs, he has another job, a far more important one.
It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool to be a father for the first time on Father's Day. Yeah, it's going to be definitely an awesome experience.
The Ballers franchise player welcomed his son Aiden into the world 5 months ago.
Oh, man, he's just a happy baby. You look at him. Every time I look at him, he just starts smiling. It's just the best thing. I have a bad day, I look at him, he just starts smiling, and everything goes away.
Aiden could be considered a baseball brat. He's moved around quite a bit as his dad chases his baseball dream.
He's been to Texas, he's been to Pennsylvania, and he's been to California so far. Yeah, just in his little short life, he's been on a lot of flights so far.
Hubbard wouldn't have it any other way. He believes there's a reason he's been on a tear to begin this year.
He has homers in him, so that's good. That's good. He's definitely brought me a lot of good luck, good energy, a lot of good home runs, good hits. He's just great to look up there and see that that's a piece of me up there.
Hubbard's role as an assistant coach for the Ballers is already prepping him for his future Little League gig.
Yeah, I'm going to be out there at all the games. I'm going to be cheering him on, giving him tough love when he needs it. Yeah, no, I'm excited for it.
Having Aiden at his games reminds him of his own dad in their early baseball memories.
My dad was there. He just bought me my first glove. I remember playing catch with him. It was an awesome experience.
He knows the time spent with the Ballers will be things he and Aiden can talk about years from now.
It's been awesome. It's always been like a little dream I've been having. Like, I just want my son to watch me play. So when we get older, I can tell him, hey, man, I know what I'm doing. I know how this goes. And he's not like, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. He's probably going to do it. But, like, it's just pretty cool to have him here with me, you know.
What a fun dad. Happy Father's Day to all of you dads. A send-off fit for an MVP, an adorable member of Chase Center's security team, is retiring. So this is Adobe. He's been keeping fans safe at countless games and concerts for the past 6 years. Oh, look at that. To thank him for his service, his coworker surprised him with a Warriors jersey, some tennis balls, even a cake. He probably liked that the best. So what's next for Adobe? Well, he's just going to become a normal house dog, looking forward to hiding any sock he can get a hold of, belly rubs, lots of treats, and lots of attention. Good job. Happy retirement, Adobe. Thanks for watching. The news continues at 8 on PIX Plus or 44 Cable 12. We'll see you back here at 11. Happy Father's Day weekend.